Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Bonjour, Thomas. Welcome to beautiful France, where we sit by the Seine with a nice glass of wine. And, oh, well, it is so lovely to see you here. You know, you are how old? You're 64? 64? Do you know that if you lived in France, you could already be retired? Yes.
Yeah, I could be. I could.
That was a terrible French accent, wasn't it? That was just terrible.
Yeah.
That was so bad.
I don't know. I was trying to figure out where it's between something, but...
I don't know, but it was really awful. I got it right with the bonjour.
You got
and then
that.
And then it fell apart very quickly thereafter.
It didn't work very well. Yeah,
did
French.
I could do Russian. Can I do Russian?
Do whatever you like. It's your show.
Okay, so but it doesn't work with the retirement thing.
Tag along.
Yeah, if you lived in France, you would have been retired 2 years ago.
Indeed.
Almost three.
A lot of pension money and less worry. Yeah, I mean, France is getting ready to tear itself apart over retirement. I mean, it's kind of staggering. The country that gave you liberty, democracy, and French cuisine is now going to battle over whether or not you should be able to retire at 62, which is the current system, or make you go wait till 64. And President Emmanuel Macron is the one who's leading the charge. Now, they tried some of this before, and it didn't go over very well. There were strikes. There was cars burned. It was just a mess. But and 14%, this is staggering, 14% of the nation's GDP goes to pensions every year. 14, I mean, that's twice what it is here in the United States and behind only Italy and Greece. I mean, it's a mess. They got to fix it. But this always brings to mind this topic about retirement and what I'm due when. Because for those of you playing at home know that the primary retirement system, even though it wasn't designed to be that, is a thing called Social Security. Which
that isn't, that's in America. Just want to clarify.
Pardon me. Thank you. America, you're right. Yeah. We're now moving back to our continent away from that continent. I mean, so the thing is, Social Security has become this catch-all. It still makes up like 2/3 of most people's retirement income. This is not how it was designed 90 years ago. It's a lot. And again, for those of you paying attention, you know, and it's not running out of money, but it will not, unless a change is made, be able to meet the benefits that will be paid out. I think it's in about 10 or 11 years. Something's got to be fixed, right?
Right.
They've got to make a change. But it always brings to mind, what is reasonable here? I mean, when should you be able to retire? And I know Don and I do a radio show. We do a podcast. I talk to people. I'm not lifting anything heavy.
Aren't we doing a podcast right now?
Exactly. Thank you. This is nothing.
Okay, good. I thought maybe we weren't.
I got young people to carry the heavy stuff like mutual funds and ETFs and all that. I don't have to carry that stuff around. We got the easy part physically.
Well, here's the thing. And this is what I don't get about the complaints. For the French retirement pension is very, very generous. Very, very generous. Social Security, I believe, last I looked, is less generous.
Oh, no question.
Quite a bit less generous. So it's the argument is not a sound one from a demographic perspective or from a financial perspective. It's just sort of like, hey, I'm 62. I don't want to work anymore. Well, one, 62 is young.
Thank you.
62 used to be incredibly old back when these pensions and Social Security and the like began in the earlier parts of the 20th century. Today, we live longer. The average life expectancy in the 1930s, when the U.S. Social Security system was put into place, was, ready? 65.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Now in France, it's a little over 79 for men and 85 for women. By the way, and this doesn't apply to Don or myself, at least the first part. Dancers in the Paris Opera, they can get a full pension at age 42.
Train well, you know how hard it is on their legs.
I imagine so. Train conductors, now that's a job I could have done. I had a grandfather who was in the train business. You can bow out at age 52, which ain't
full
too
pension.
Bad. Yeah, full pension. So, I mean, the reality, you mentioned this important word, demographics. Yes, people are getting older. There's not as many people to replace the old people. That's mm-hmm. another, that's the truth.
Not in France,
not here
in the United States, no. And now not even in China.
Exactly. If you've read the papers lately, well, okay, read your online news feed lately. I got to fix my description there. So here are the options for those of you listening, because I find this fascinating. Should we A, move Social Security to age 70 here in the United States? That'll mm-hmm. fix the problem. That's not a problem.
That will fix the problem.
B, should we make saving mandatory in some way? In other words, don't let people make their entire retirement set on what my Social Security benefit is. C, should we use means testing for Social Security? In other words, Don McDonald, you save too much money, therefore you're not going to get a full Social
That'll
Security
That'll never
benefit.
Fly.
Or D, should we have bonds, and this has been proposed, that are issued at the time of birth for people that are a cradle-to-grave support system for you financially? There's other ideas.
What about E? The one that's nobody talks about E.
Please.
E is, do you make more than $140,000 a year?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you pay Social Security on that money above 140?
It's a 138 or something this year. No, I don't.
Well, I'm rounding. Right.
That would be easy fix. Yes.
Would it make a huge difference in your life?
No.
If you had to pay an extra 7.5% on the money over.
No, I think that's an easy fix. But
that's
still,
the easiest fix.
I still think you're going to have to eventually push that retirement age way past 62.
Well, we did that several years ago when we made FRA.
It's 67 scale. Here pretty soon. Pretty soon it's going to be, if you're getting ready to retire, your full retirement age.
I mean, I'm 66 and change.
Yep.
And 67 is going to, it won't be 65 anymore for anybody. It isn't for anybody.
Well, as
right
I say,
now.
Within, I think it's a couple of years, anybody retiring will, the full retirement age, you get your full benefit at age 67.
I'm not in Congress and I don't even play one on the radio, a congressperson. But why in the world aren't they proposing something almost painless, which is cranking it up by 6 month increments every year until it gets to 70?
Because that you're going to run into all kinds of people who say that's totally unfair. Certain people don't live that long, et cetera, et cetera. And I was promised this from the beginning.
Well,
I think you go back to young people.
Certain people don't live to 62.
Exactly. I think you go back to people under the age of like 30 and say, this is the way it's going to be working forward. Not going to affect anybody after age 30 or after 40, something like that. That's
what
an
you
easy
do
one
is you to go me. To all people under 30 and you say, tough, you're not going to get Social Security. Take care of your parents.
Exactly.
It's your duty to take care of them. And since you won't do it on your own, we're going to make you.
Indeed. So there's, but the reason
I was being facetious.
Oh, pardon me. I thought you're, you're the heedless contrarian. I just go along with it. There's going to have to be a change. And here's the other part that we've talked about ad nauseum on this show. Retirement's going to be more up to you in the future than it's been probably up till now. In other words, fewer pensions, later Social Security, et cetera. You're going to have to be the saver. You're going to have to be the investor. You're going to have to take care of yourself more
Back
in the future.
To a point I made yesterday, which is all of the things you do with money, whether it's paying off your credit card debt or getting a better job or putting money in your 401k or saving or opening an IRA or whatever it might be, all of your extra financial energy should be put toward the ultimate goal of being a little bit more or a lot more self-sufficient in retirement. Sure, Social Security will probably be there for many more years, hopefully generations, but why not take the more proactive stance and make sure you're okay on your own?
And in work with your kids and grandkids on that too. Or here's an alternative. Get the leotard on and move to Paris because you're out at age 42. That's not a bad idea either, by the way.
Too late.
Oh, sorry. Darn. Your legs don't look like they can take it.
Oh, hey, I've got nice legs.
Okay, just, sorry about that.
It's just other parts of me.
Everything else. So this is to be continued. This is a great debate, and I will be fascinated to watch what happens in France, because this is coming in the next few weeks when they make the formal proposal. And then I guess they'll start burning down the Eiffel Tower or something.
Yeah,
after
you just want to sit by the Seine with a nice glass of wine.
Watch the fires flicker in the background.
Look, do your Nero bit.
There goes Paris, man.
Questions?
Yes, I've got questions.
Are we done with that topic?
I think that's over. No, okay. We're going to get our haters on that one, so we'll let it go for now.
Only my bad French accent, that's all.
Sorry. Greg writes us and says, hey, thanks for all the advice. I've learned a lot from you guys. As I continue to develop my financial plan, I'm looking for alternative sources of income in addition to my regular job as an engineer. One area that interests me is finance. What are your thoughts about financial advising and how you would recommend getting started?
We get this a lot, and we get it a lot from engineers. We hear from a lot of engineers because they're very data-driven. And research driven. But here's the problem. Most of what financial advisors do has nothing to do with numbers. We have a lot of good friends out there who are engineering types, and we know that they're not really good at being advisors, because advising is more of an interpersonal calling. It's more about relationship building. And by the way, if you want to go into any other business except the fiduciary business financially, it's also about being a great salesperson.
Yeah, you got to be able to convince people to do something, to sign, to do whatever it is. That's good advice. And by the way, the engineers love us because of the way we invest. It is data-driven. It's not about here's what we think could happen, et cetera. So that's been very popular. But to your question, if truly you wanted to get in the business, and I think there's a lot of ways to go here. Number one, I would interview the people that I respect and ask them. That would be one, right? I talked to a lot of people. Paul Merriman talks to people. Mm-hmm. Number two, I think the low bar to entry is to go get your Series 65.
I'm going to come back to my same point, though, Tom.
Yes, please do.
I don't want to deflate anyone's sales, but the reality is almost no one is hiring people to do analysis.
No, I'm not arguing with you there. But what they are hiring people for is to write plans, for example, with the software. There are people that remotely write financial plans. Yeah, they could do that. You're right. The advisor needs to be empathetic person that knows about finance, not the other way around. I'm with you there.
Yeah, and that's because the people who are hired to do the plans are more commoditized, in my opinion. Then it's much, much harder to find somebody who is basically a financial shrink, because that's what most advisors really should be, is a financial shrink. So I don't want to get anyone too excited about the job prospects, because I don't think they're all that good unless you have a specific degree in financial analysis and the like.
I will, as you said very kindly on a show recently, argue slightly with my colleague, Don McDonald. Here's why. Yeah, here's why. Yeah. So many old people like us are getting out. We're done. We're finished. And so there is a lack of talent, and firms will accept, okay, I'll figure out how to squeeze you in here, how to make that work. That's the reality of today's hiring situation in advisory firms, the right firms.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, think about some of our friends, people we know. I'm not going to name names, but people we know who have said they want to be in the business. They've gotten the opportunity, and they're not finding a lot of openings in plan writing.
Yeah, no, there's some. You're right. It's not huge, but there's some. You're right. The advisor is the real opportunity, but you've got to be the right, you have to have the right emotional makeup. But I would start with talking to people, and they're out there, they'll talk to you about the jobs and see how it fits in. And I think if you're a young person, this is a great business to get into. Truly do.
And again, I want to qualify this, because 990,000 out of a million jobs in this industry
are the wrong jobs.
They're sales commission jobs.
And they do, people do call me later and say, I went and talked to XYZ firm and they said, sure, we'll put you at a desk. Go ahead and start calling your friends and family.
Right. Yeah. Sell something.
But you don't want to. That doesn't sound
We're
fun
not going
to
give you a salary or anything. Now, the big firms will give you a salary, in air quotes. It'll be like a draw against future commissions.
Exactly.
But this is, I just, this is just the reality of this business. I know when I entered this business in 1983, it was the same as it is now. We were put on the phone. Now it's, there are other ways of prospecting, but we were put on the phone and told sink or swim.
Find out if you can sell.
Out of my training class of 16 individuals, men and women, by the end of the first year, 15 had washed out completely.
Yeah, and that's not unusual. I mean, that happens. Even people they put through their training program that they take to New York and teach you how to sell.
That's what I was in. I was in this big training program, and they taught us all the things. And 15 out of the 16 washed out, and the 16th eventually saw the error of his ways and went into radio for $500 a month.
And that's now making $650 a month. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Well, it's radio.
How's that going? You got the shed out in the back. It's comfortable.
Expectations should be low if you want to go into radio.
So anyway, back to your question, Greg. No, I think that's fair to be careful. I do think as a general rule in this field, even with the smaller number of fiduciary only firms, it's going to be a lot of opportunity in the next 20 years because a lot of people are retiring. That's my take.
We're old. In other words, hey, if you want to talk with one of these advisor counselor people that we have at our firm, Appella Wealth, and spend some time with them, not get sold anything. This is not one of those free consultation. And yeah, come to our office for a free consultation.
By the end of the day, we'll have you in two annuities and some actively managed mutual funds. No problem.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, paying 6% commissions across the board, ladies and gentlemen.
Love it. Real money.
No, what you're going to get is you're going to get help. We promise. No obligation, no cost. Now, here's the other thing. If you want us to meet with you more than once, or sometimes Tom is really nice and does it twice or three or five times, if you want it, then you need to become a client and actually pay us for the service. But will we give it to you for free?
Yeah.
We give it away. I know what your mother told you. He'll never buy the cow if you give the milk away for free.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
It wasn't me. It wasn't girls.
I was waiting for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. No, not okay. Not boys. Boys just milk the cows.
Mm-hmm. Oh God, you gotta be careful.
I'm talking dairy.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's a podcast. I guess
it's
you can get away with it.
It's a podcast.
You can say it.
Yeah. So parents, if you're driving around with your children, just remember, cheesecake. If you want the help, go to talkingrealmoney.com. Click on the meet an advisor button. Just easy.
This has been a moving experience, but I got to move on now, if that's okay.
Do you have copies of the dad joke book at both places?
I don't. I forgot to bring it here to the studio.
Please forget it. Please forget it.
They admit, by the way, in the book that the authors admit these are some pretty bad jokes.
No, not pretty bad. They're horrible.
Okay, well, they're horrible. So,
yeah. And if anybody at the Appella Wealth office in Bellevue is listening, it's in Tom's office.
Burn it.
Take it out back and burn it. See ya.
Then you'll hear my bad joke. So you don't want that either, by the way. So.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being a part of our little podcasting experience. That's what we call it. We're going to go with that and hope all is well in your life. Tell your friends, neighbors, relatives, and remember, we're doing it so you don't have to. Talking Real Money.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only.
Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times.
Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future.
So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring.
Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities.
Instead, the program program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures.
That should keep the lawyers happy.